Side 3.
The man had appeared suddenly and silently out of the dusk, and was quite close before my father saw him. "It's another keeper," he whispered. "Just sit tight and don't say a word."
We both watched the keeper as he came down the track towards us. He had a shotgun under his arm, and there was a black Labrador walking at his heel. He stopped when he was a few paces away. "Good evening," my father said, nice and friendly. This one was a tall, bony man with a hard eye and a hard cheek and hard, dangerous hands.
"I know you," he said, coming closer. "I know the both of you."
My father didn't answer this.
"You're from the filling station. That's your boy. And you live in that filthy old caravan, right?"
"What are we playing?" my father said. 20 questions?"
The keeper spat out a big gob of spit.
"Beat it. Go on, get out."
"This happens to be a public footpath," my father said. "Kindly do not molest us."
The keeper shifted the gun from his left arm to his right.
"You're loitering with intent to commit a nuisance. I could run you in for that."
"No, you couldn't," my father said.
All this made me rather nervous.
"I see you broke your foot," the keeper said. "You didn't by any chance fall into a hole in the ground, did you?"
"It's been a nice walk, Danny," my father said, putting a hand on my knee, "but it's time we went home for our supper."
He stood up, and so did I. We wandered off down the track the way we'd come, leaving the keeper standing there, and soon he was out of sight in the half-darkness behind us.
"That's the head keeper," my father said. "His name is Rabbits."
"Do we have to go home, Dad?"
"Home? We're just beginning. Come in here."
There was a gate on our right, leading into a field, and we climbed over it and sat down behind the hedge.
"Mr. Rabbits is also due for his supper," my father said. "You mustn't worry about him."
We sat quietly behind the hedge, waiting for the keeper to walk past us on his way home. A few stars were showing, and a bright three-quarter moon was coming up over the hills behind us in the east.
"We have to be careful of that dog," my father said. "When they come by, hold your breath and don't move a muscle."
"Won't the dog smell us out anyway?"
"No, there's no wind to carry the scent. Look out, here they come. Don't move."
The keeper came loping softly down the track, with the dog padding quick and soft-footed at his heel. I took a deep breath and held it as they went by. When they were some distance away, my father stood up and said,
"It's all clear. He won't be coming back tonight."
"Are you sure?"
"I'm positive, Danny."
"What about the other one, the one in the clearing?"
"He'll be gone, too."
"Mightn't one of them be waiting for us at the bottom of the track, by the gap in the hedge?"
"There wouldn't be any point in him doing that. There's at least 20 different ways of reaching the road when you come out of Hazel's Wood. Mr. Rabbits knows that."
The three-quarter moon was well above the hills now, and the sky was filled with stars as we climbed back over the gate and began walking up the track towards the wood. It was not as dark as I had expected it to be inside the wood this time. Little glints and glimmers from the brilliant moon outside shone through the leaves and gave the place a cold, eerie look.
"I brought a light for each of us," my father said. "We're going to need it later on."
He handed me one of those small pocket torches shaped like a fountain pen. I switched mine on. It threw a long, narrow beam of surprising brightness, and when I moved it around, it was like waving a very long white wand among the trees. I switched it off. We started walking back towards the clearing, where the pheasants had eaten the raisins.
"This," my father said, "will be the first time in the history of the world that anyone has ever tried to poach roosting pheasants. Isn't it marvellous, though, to be able to walk around without worrying about keepers?"
"You don't think Mr. Rabbits might have sneaked back?"
"Never," my father said.
I couldn't help feeling that if I had been Mr. Rabbits, and if I had seen two suspicious-looking characters lurking just outside my precious pheasant wood, I certainly would not have gone home to my supper. Hand in hand, we threaded our way through the trees. In a few minutes, we were at the clearing.
"Here's where we threw the raisins," my father said.
I peered through the bushes.
What do we do?
I asked. We stay here and wait.
Are they all roosting, Dad?
Yes, they're all around us. They don't go far.
Could I see them if I shone my light up into the branches?
No, they go up pretty high, and they hide in among the leaves.
We stood waiting for something to happen. Nothing happened.